Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to talk a little bit today about some of the themes that we've touched on all week. I feel like the Lord is guiding us and helping us. And I think if we take the readings that the church gives us, it's amazing to me how often the readings fit right into what we might most need at a given time. And we continue to be, as a culture, here in the United States, but around the world, battling this pandemic. Doors are opening a little bit, but there's still lots of the anxiety and concern, real issues that we're having to face. There's a lot of weight on us. It can be a discouraging time, a difficult time, a fearful time, because such a sense of a lack of control and knowing for sure where things are going. There's a lot of division among leaders. There's a lack of clarity about how actually we can move forward together. So it's a battle. There's no question about it. We're living in a spiritual battle. This has a real spiritual dimension to it. And it exposes a lot about the human heart. And the Lord wants us to see it. And I think, you know, the themes that we've talked about all week, beginning with on Monday, I took up the readings from Sunday's liturgy together. And it was just beautiful readings from Exodus, from the story of Moses on Mount Sinai and God descending in a cloud. And God reveals his name to Moses. Moses is his friend. And he reveals his name, and then he reveals his nature, the attributes of God, that he's merciful and he's kind and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And this is part of God's plan, salvation, history of revealing himself. And then the gospel reading we had that day was, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not die but have everlasting life. And so what we see is what God revealed to Moses has been perfectly revealed, and his attributes and who he is revealed, incarnated in the person of his son, Jesus. Jesus said, it's to see me is to see the Father and what he's like. And of course, we talked about how that revelation culminated on Calvary when Jesus laid down his life for us. And he expressed what friendship looks like. He expressed what love looks like for us. So that whole stream of things, and then Jesus began to teach us, you know, Monday was the Beatitudes, and the Beatitudes express what? The reality of what the kingdom of God looks like. So we had readings that we continue to celebrate the death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which gives us a new power and a capacity to be united to Christ's life and for us to become empowered through baptism, confirmation, become children of God. And children of God begin to live like the family, like the Father. So we see the church opening up for us. What does it look like? What does the Christian life look like? How do we imitate Jesus? How does the love of God in our hearts, which is the center and the sum, and Jesus called the first and greatest of all the commandments, is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love our neighbor as ourselves. What does that look like? And the Beatitudes is a beautiful way of expressing what the kingdom life looks like. We had readings from the Acts of the Apostles and the extending of the kingdom of God and the evangelization of Paul and Barnabas and Peter and others. And so what we see are these two great realities. There's the great commandment, which is at the heart of what the Christian life is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the great commission, to go make disciples of all nations. These things go intimately together. And it's the gift of the Holy Spirit is the one who brings them together. It's actually, he's the one who births them in us. Because the Holy Spirit really is the love between the Father and the Son that we are brought into in baptism. The Holy Spirit is the one that fulfills the words of the prophets that we also talked about this week. God said through Ezekiel, Jeremiah, I will give you a new heart. I will put my law in you. And so Jesus, who filled the law full, he told us this week that not one iota of the law won't be fulfilled. He fulfilled it. And now the new law, the new way of the kingdom, is the way of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's law in us. And so that we're fulfilling from a new heart, from a transformed, a new capacity in us, we're beginning to love with Jesus' heart, and we begin to love what Jesus loves. That's what maturing means. That's what it means to become his disciple and to grow in holiness, is to love what he loves. And what he loves first and foremost is God the Father. He loves him with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he, with great joy, gives you and me the spirit that raised him from the dead, the love between the Father and the Son, because he wants to give us everything we need to be able to love the Father and to fulfill the very reason for which we're made. The only place we'll find peace and happiness and the rest. And he wants to put that for us in the first place. And then the Holy Spirit is the Spirit poured out in Pentecost that ignites the mission of the church. He's the first missionary, really, of the church who empowers us to love the King's mission as well. So loving God, loving neighbor, and making disciples is what the Holy Spirit wants to unfold in us. And there's expressions of how deep the Holy Spirit wants to take us in being able to love. The first thing we see is the love between the Father and the Son. We see how God loves God. The Father's profound love. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And Jesus loving and speaking of the Father's love and obeying the Father. He said, going to the cross, he said, I'm going to the cross because I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. And so that reality, the love between the Son and the Father, is revealed to us in Christ and then poured out in us. And so we then see, as it's mentioned in that reading from John 3:16, that God loves us. And how does God love us? Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. So the furnace of love between the Father and the Son, that it's for all eternity, and it's unstoppable, it's fullness beyond description, his constant love and favor and blessing on the Son, and the Son delighting and receiving the blessing and receiving his relationship with the Father. That's the love Jesus said that he has for us. And in John 17, it's the way the Father loves us. That's a hard one for us to receive, but it's the Holy Spirit who wants to give us help and to help us have conviction to be able to receive the depth of the love that the Lord has for us. And if we believe that, that's the key. If we receive it and believe it and walk in it, we'll be able to love him in return. If we know his love and the power he's given us, it'll help us respond to him. So we learn to love God with all our own heart too, right? Jesus wants to empower us to literally fulfill that commandment. It's not just checking off a commandment. It's to say, to fulfill our life purpose, the reason for which we have been made. And the only place we can find wholeness, life, joy, fulfillment is in loving God. And we need God to help us love God. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's God's love, Paul says, poured into our hearts. So we're filled with hope of what God can accomplish in us. So we see how God loves God, how God loves us, how he's empowering us to love him. And the Holy Spirit wants to teach us to love ourselves in God. After all, Jesus said, right, the first and the greatest commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Jesus tells us to deny ourselves. If we're going to be able to follow him, we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross and come after him. To hate yourself. But what does that mean? What Jesus is saying is to look at that dimension of our lives and the drives within us that are preoccupied with ourselves and our being first, me being the center of things, and not laying my life down for others, but expecting others to lay down their life for me. Jesus said, that part of you is part of the sin-sick condition of your heart. It's the old man, and that has to be subdued, and I need to put that to death. You need to allow me to apply the cross to your life to put that to death, the insisting on our own way and being the center of our concern. That's just a terrible place to have to live in. It's tormenting, really, when it comes right down to it. It's a deep enslavement. But Jesus is talking here about loving ourselves in God. And that is being able to really see the value of our life. My life is valuable because God values me. My life is of infinite value because the Son of God came for me. And I'm sharing a life in Him. And so seeing that is so important, friends, to be able to love ourselves in a way that's healthy spiritually, to receive the love God has for us, and to allow that to dignify us. And it comes not from what I possess or what I can control or who I can control or how big a name I have or how big my pocketbook is. None of that matters. What gives you value is that the Creator of the universe calls you valuable. You're precious in His eyes. And He wants to give you a share in what belongs to His beloved Son, the firstborn. So we see how God loves God. We see how God loves us with all His heart. We see how He wants to help us love Him with all our hearts. He wants us to learn to love ourselves in a way that's whole and healthy and freeing. And then from that, when we're in that place of receiving the love of God, then what flows out of us is love for neighbor. Because my mind becomes enlightened, it gets renewed, and the weight and anxiety of worrying about myself and the preoccupation with myself and all my concerns and seeing others somehow as a competition and threatening and life's a zero-sum game and all that silly, dark stuff that's in the human heart that grips us, a fear that grips us and holds us back. We're afraid to risk. We don't want to be hurt. We don't want to be disappointed. We'll enter into relationships where we know for sure we're never going to get hurt. Well, guess what? That'll never happen. God entered into a relationship with us. Jesus knows how fickle and weak we are. But every little act of love and our responding to the prompting of the Holy Spirit toward God or toward neighbor delights the Lord. He loves it. The last thing the enemy wants us to do is to begin to forget about ourselves and to give our lives away. And this is the work the Holy Spirit wants to do within us, to teach us how to be a community that loves one another. And it's from that, Jesus' prayer in John 17, right, that we can all be one. And the oneness, the unity of spirit, and the bond of peace that St. Paul speaks about so beautifully, that has to be guarded. And it's guarded with mercy toward one another, with regular repentance and forgiveness of sins. We know we're going to fall. All of us are in the same boat, and we want to help each other. That's why Jesus said, you know, be ready to receive forgiveness 70 times, 7 times a day. That means also to extend it, you know, to brothers and sisters. And so the devil's strategy is to fracture, to separate, to build walls, to kind of reconstitute the dominion of self-concern, all those kinds of things. Jesus wants us to come out of that. And the only way to do it is if the love of God heals your heart and mine, and letting Him do that and living in that. Lord, we pray here at the end of this week together, we pray that Your love, loving You first, would come alive in us, and it would be the center of our lives and move us in to Your commandment to us to extend the kingdom. You promise to be with us always, Lord, and we receive it. God bless you, friends. Have a good weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.